This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Glenn?
Sorry about that. And I just said, well, good Monday hungover morning, and I didn't have my mic on.
Oh, my God. Is that what that was? All right. Well, he's Glenn, and I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for February 8th, episode 1355. This episode is brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, horse world.
Monday, Monday. Trust that day.
I didn't know.
Well, it's your fault, so.
Behind our masks, we're perfectly ordinary people.
And now, our perfectly unordinary host, Jamie Jennings.
Really? Just remember, my friend, that payback can happen.
And Glenn the Geek.
I'd have to get new tights.
Good morning, everybody. I can't guarantee that this show is going to be any better than the commercials in the Super Bowl last night.
Now, I know you're going to be negative about everything, but as a pop culture, as a media savvy pop culture lover, I must say that the celebrity commercials, a couple of them really, really made me laugh. But I got to pour a little coffee out on the ground for our dead homies. What happened?
I don't know what happened.
What the hell? I watched
Where was
every
your good friend Don Jean?
Commercial. Where? I watched every damn commercial looking for Don.
He wasn't
Where's
there.
Don? Where's the Budweiser Clydesdale? Where's the puppies? I don't know what's going on. I'm so mad at Budweiser. I will never drink another, not like every day.
Yeah, I was going to say, never. I didn't see any Bud at your house when I was there.
I'll never buy Budweiser ever again. What happened? What's the deal?
And then the commercial they ran, it was like, okay, we're sick of the horses and the dogs. We have to kick it up a notch and make it like exciting. And like they got a whole new ad agency.
Oh my gosh. They showed like the, as soon as like the Clydesdale nose came on the screen, I'm like, here we go.
And it was like, oh God.
What is this crap? But
I did think there were a couple ads. Well, first of all, the ads just sucked. I mean, they were the most boring ads in a Super Bowl ever. They were just ordinary, boring ads. It was like
they were just real commercials. I told Chad, I'm like, I'm going to go to the kitchen. If a commercial comes on that looks like it's about to start a movie, then pause it. Otherwise, I don't want to see it.
You know, the Hyundai commercial at the beginning with the father tracking the kid, I thought was pretty good. Did you see that one?
That is Kevin Hart. And I knew you wouldn't know who he is. He is a very popular comedian right now. And he is one of the funniest men on the planet.
Oh, it was
and
good.
Yes, it was even more perfect that it was him because that was fantastic. And that is what my father would have done as well if he'd had that kind of technology or knew how to use it.
Or knew how to use it, right. No, that was funny. And then the hot dog ad. I thought that was the cutest ad, hot dogs. Yeah, that was cute. And I especially love the little packet, the little guy in the packet outfit. That was cute.
The little kid. Now,
yes.
It's funny that you and I sometimes have the same taste because those were two of my favorites, but hands down, Lucas's favorite commercial, and we had to rewind it and watch it like six different times,
was
the singing sheep.
Oh, and I thought that was the dumbest commercial ever, but like, I can see how a kid would like it.
We laughed hysterically at the singing sheep when they drove off, and then it like, ooh, like did the high note. Oh my God. We laughed hysterically and we had to rewatch it like six times.
Yeah. I was ready for more horses and there weren't.
No, I know. But the other one that we liked was the baby Doritos, the ultrasound.
Oh, I thought that was disturbing.
Well, that's because you haven't been ultrasound 400 times.
It was disturbing. Though it would have been great if they hadn't done the last thing at the end.
Oh, God.
That was disturbing.
So disgusting. It was so gross. But you know what?
If they had left it there, it would have been a cute commercial. Then they had to take it that one step further. It was like the air got sucked out of the room. We were sitting there watching with people, and it was a cute commercial up to that point. And then it was like, oh.
Listen. I know that there are some girls out there that are with me. When you get pregnant and you're over 35, there is like, it's like,
the whole
red
thing
alert,
is disgusting.
red alert, come down. And you get ultrasounded like every week. I swear to God, I was constantly getting looked at and like, we need some blood. We need this. So having 4,700 ultrasounds, like I was right there with them. I was like, that's hilarious. That I've seen so many ultrasounds, no big deal. And when she took that Dorito and threw it, and that baby exited, I almost threw up. I was like you said, the air got sucked out of the room.
Yeah, that was I wasn't so expecting funny. That.
But it was so, I mean, that's what's funny about it. But anyway,
you know how on the Horse Radio Network, we kind of protect our advertisers. Like, if we have one retailer on a show, we won't have another. Every car that was made had commercials last night in the Super Bowl.
Gosh.
Every single car manufacturer had a commercial. And I didn't even know Buick still made cars.
You know, at the end of the night, all Chad was like, God, I want a Jeep. I want a Jeep.
No,
so
he doesn't.
Bad.
Trust me. Maybe he that wants, new one.
Well, we took the car in this weekend to get fixed, our Volkswagen Passat, and just to get the tune up. And they had a brand new Jeep, you know, at the car dealership next door. And he had to pull over and look at it. And he was like, $50,000 for a Jeep Wrangler?
I know.
Are you kidding me?
I know. You can buy a new Dodge Ram diesel for that.
Yeah, that's crazy money. Crazy money. And I said, well, if you just go ahead and buy me my little Volkswagen Beetle convertible, it's only $25,000. So let's
do you
get
know
to.
That's what I learned to drive on and took my driver's test in. An original Beetle. That's
You're
right.
old.
Yeah, that's what I did. And if you can drive a stick if you can drive a VW Beetle in a stick, they had the toughest clutches in the world. If you learn to drive with that, you can drive any clutch.
Perfect. Well,
I don't even know if they still make clutches. Do they still make six?
They should have done a commercial about that then. Because I think that we're in agreement. The Kevin Hart dad father
yes.
tracker.
That was my favorite by far.
And it actually won overall the best commercial
it?
USA okay, Today in the Super Bowl tracker. Like the
I
ad meters.
It was hard to find another one that even was close.
The second one was the hot dog. So
yeah.
There you go.
There we go. We're right in there with the mainstream, Jamie. That's a first.
I know.
Well, Jennifer, what are we talking about today other than commercials?
Other than commercials coming up on today's Omega Alpha Equine Monday edition, Dr. Chang's going to stop by with a timely equine health segment. And because we did not get our Budweiser Clydesdale fix in this year's big game, we'll have some fun with a list of Did You Know Budweiser Clydesdale facts. And Jenny Autry is also going to stop by with the results from the really big game of the weekend, the Wellington Eventing Showcase. And then rounding out our Monday adventure, we're going to revisit a chat we had with the rider of the Denver Broncos mascot, Thunder. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
By the way, Broncos won, Glenn.
Yeah. Oh, no, I watched the whole game. I like football.
Actually, that was actually awesome to have Peyton Manning win. And
yeah, I was kind of.
Dear God, please retire. Don't Garth Brooks it. Okay.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Go out on top. I think he just didn't want to. He didn't want to announce it last night because he just didn't want to spoil the thunder for everybody else. But
yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, we're gonna have a bonus feature. I thought we interviewed that Ann Judge Wegener, who was the one riding the Denver Bronco mascot Thunder, the Arabian, and we thought, well, we'll replay that at the end of the show for those that want to hang around and listen. That was from 2014, but she talks about being in the Super Bowl the first time she was in the Super Bowl. So it was kind of a fun interview. And that we did that one with, you weren't there for that one. That was Kim Baker, one of Kim Baker's episodes.
Okay.
So we'll do that a little later as a bonus feature for today. We should have done it on Friday, but I totally forgot.
At least you're honest.
That's why. No other reason. I need a welcome bumper. You know, it says welcome to the show or something. But
dun,
anyway.
Dun, 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 dun. Sorry.
No, you can. I was just waiting for you to say, welcome, new auditors.
Welcome, new auditors. I didn't want to steal your data.
No, that's okay. You can. So, new auditors, we had three over the weekend. We had Kelly Dean. How do you say her name? The other one.
Janisina.
Janisina. That's a cool name. Janisina Ursone.
Janisina Ursone.
We apologize. Please do not take your money back. And Jessica Troop, we're new auditors over the weekend. Thank you guys for joining up, and we appreciate you joining the club. That's so nice of you. And I have another Daily Whinny.
Oh boy.
Okay, so I have to give this, and I know he's not listening, but I'm going to tell him we mentioned him on the show. And Dave Jackson, who is a podcaster, been a podcaster for a lot longer than I have, and does the most popular podcast about podcasting, and it's called The School of Podcasting. And if you remember right, I did an interview with him a while back, a year ago. Well, it seems like every episode he mentions my name for some reason or another. Apparently, it was one of his most popular episodes he's ever done. Well, I have to mention him today on today's show because, well, let me just play the beginning of this week's episode of the School of Podcasting, episode number 500, and he was celebrating. He has this big special episode planned for episode number 500, and this was the beginning. It seemed like in the first minute.
Hi, this is Steve Stewart, host of the podcast No Debt, No Credit, and No Problems, which you can find at stevestewart.me. The following episode is number 500 for the School of Podcasting. Woohoo! Last week was Groundhog Day in the United States, and it turns out that today, February 8th, is both Dave's birthday and episode 500. So Dave has decided to combine his love for the movie Groundhog Day, the 500th episode of School of Podcasting, and his birthday into this show. So if this episode sucks, go back and listen to episode 499, or maybe the one with Glenn the Geek. That one was awesome.
I can't tell if he's being sarcastic or not.
No, he apparently it was like his most downloaded episode. So he keeps every episode I listen to it, I listen every week he mentions my name. So now, Dave Jackson, now you have been on our show. So we're even.
I find that the name Glenn the Geek in a show like that probably is an attractive something to download. Like, oh, it's a geek.
He's a geek.
Let's listen.
What they don't know is I am the geekiest of horse people, not so much in the geek world.
So they're like, wait, he hasn't talked at all about saving or managing our money. You've got them all snowed, Glenn the Geek.
So that's funny. But anyway, now I've officially done my obligation and my duty.
Good.
He's a good guy. I really enjoy him. I'll see him at the end of the month. He's coming in for that podcasting conference. All right, you have one too.
Well, if your podcaster friend listens to my Daily Whinny, he will not continue, okay? Because he will never come back. Okay. Because I have to tell you that my Daily Whinny, my veterinarian, Dr. Hendricks, is awesome. But she's also sick. She was actually scheduled to come on the show and talk to us because today is Pink's first ultrasound. Yay! So we're going to see where
she is. The mare, for new listeners, that's the mare that somebody kindly donated to you for a year to have a baby.
It's my baby mama.
Yep.
It's just my baby mama. Somebody, a friend, has a super fancy warm blood mare and said, I want you to breed the horse of your dreams. Here's the mare. I mean, what are you going to say? No? So my baby mama is getting ultrasounded today. And one of the girls at the barn, she's boarded at a place right down the street. One of the girls at the barn needs the vet. So I called the Dr. Hendricks on Friday, and her husband answers the phone. And she's not sick anymore, but she has no voice. Like, you know, when you get like a cold and you can't really talk afterwards, and the last couple days of coughing takes your voice away. So she has no voice. So the husband answers the phone, bless his heart. Hi, Derek. And he says, hey, Elena's got no voice. So I need to pass on her what you're going to say. And I was like, okay, this is going to be good.
Oh, no. Jennifer, make a note. It is 14 minutes into the show. Make a note. Go ahead.
I said, okay, Derek, I need you to relay this directly to your wife. We need to add another horse to Monday's appointment. We need to add another horse to Monday's appointment. He needs his teeth floated and he needs vaccines. And Derek, I want you to repeat this verbatim to her. He has a squamous cell carcinoma on his penis that needs to be rechecked.
Oh, God.
And to hear a husband, I mean, yeah, his wife's a vet, but
did he actually repeat it?
He was like, and I go, Derek, word for word. I should have recorded the phone call. Elena, he's got a, I said, squamous cell carcinoma on his penis.
did she crack up?
Oh, God, I laughed hysterically. I couldn't hear her because she has no voice, but I guarantee we'll talk about it today. So, Derek, you get my daily Winnie for being not only that guy, that horse husband, also being the vet's husband. So, way to go.
Okay, now I'm going to regret this, but I have to. So, is that like a tumor on his wee-wee?
It is a tumor on his wee-wee, and it has constantly been frozen. You know, they basically put liquid nitrogen on it.
Oh, God. Liquid nitrogen where your wee-wee. That's just enough.
I think it's to the point where Dr. Hendricks is going to have to
remove his
scalpel out and make some business happen down there.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
That it's a paint horse, and a lot of paint horses have that problem.
How do you keep that clean after they scalpel it? Do you have to like wrap it with vet wrap?
I don't know, but if they could have just smeared some sunscreen on the thing every day. Wait. So in Phoenix, it's actually a problem because the horses, when they're paint like that, their penises are pink, and then the sun reflects off the ground, and like, you know, sunscreen. You need sunscreen.
Is there, I guarantee you, not even Howard Stern is talking about, what was that again? What do you call that name of that tumor? It's a
squamous cell carcinoma.
A squamous cell carcinoma on a penis. That isn't even coming up on Howard Stern's show today.
No, probably not. Why would that come up? But I bet he's talked about rubbing sunscreen on a wiener before.
That he's done.
And your podcasting friend has done.
Yes, and we no longer have our PG rating on iTunes. That just went away. No, this is medical talk. We get to keep it because this is like medical talk.
This is medical
talk. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
It goes out to a husband's veterinarian.
Oh, God. I apologize to anybody eating breakfast this morning. All right, let's talk halftime. I did not watch the halftime because they are not just my favorite groups, but I know Coldplay is like your group of a lifetime. Now, let me read to you what one of my friends wrote on Facebook, and I want to see if you agree with this, okay? Not a good blending of halftime talent. Beyonce and Bruno felt forced. The tribute to previous acts seemed half-hearted and confusing. It should have just been Coldplay. This was all over the place.
Okay.
What do you think?
I definitely could have used more Coldplay.
Yeah, you could always. You would have agreed with this. I thought just Coldplay, that'd have been fine.
Yes, yes. I think it was really cool. I think the stage was awesome, and Coldplay. Chad and I got our like wedding song. You know, and married couples have their wedding song they dance to. We actually danced to a Coldplay song called "Fix You," and so that song holds a lot of emotional. It just brings up a lot of emotional stuff for me. We actually we decided we were going to get married when we were both singing Fix You to each other on a road trip one time. And it's like a huge song. Okay. So backing up, Coldplay comes out, they do a couple of their hit songs and just kind of like a mashup of hit songs. Great. Need more. Bruno Mars comes out. He's awesome. Beyonce comes out. She's amazing. I love all three of those artists. Very, very much. I think they're all super talented. I think all the people on stage were great. It was so cool. And then they start playing Fix You, Glenn. And they start playing. He sits down at the
piano.
Were
you a blubbering mess?
There's a part, I mean, basically it's like lights will guide you home. The whole song, I mean, so sad. Chris Martin actually wrote the song for Gwyneth Paltrow when her father died. So, but it's like basically you can look at it like somebody died or you can look at it like you're coming home to, you know, like to your marriage, you know, or is that you can kind of turn it however you want, but it's still a kind of a sad song. And He was singing about lights will guide you home. And they showed a picture. They started doing kind of an in memoriam of Super Bowl performers. And they showed Whitney Houston. And I lost it. Like, lost it. I mean, dear, it was just Chad Lucas and I, so I wasn't like embarrassing myself in front of people. And Chad knows that this song, like, I can't even listen to it anymore. I cry every time. So when they showed Whitney and he said those words, ugly cry. Like, ugly cry started, Glenn. I don't know what's wrong with me.
Luke is going, Luke's going, what's wrong, mommy?
He's like, play the sheep again.
Yeah, play sheep. The sheep.
So I loved it. I loved the halftime show, but I tend to be a little more positive than most about this because I've started reading things and everybody is just, you know, people either love Coldplay or they hate Coldplay. It's so weird. And I'm one of the ones that love them.
Yeah, and I can't say I have any skin in the game at all. I don't have never lived or listened to them that much, so I don't know.
Glenn, I started thinking about this last night because I was like, Glenn is going to hate this halftime show.
It didn't seem to last very long. I went out of the room, made some stuff in the kitchen, came back, and it was over.
Yeah, it was really, really quick.
Yeah.
And I thought, Glenn's going to hate it, and he's not going to watch it. And I thought, I'm like, who? Like, sitting down going, doo-doo, 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 who would Glenn's dream halftime performance be? Who is the one band that Glenn would sit down and get excited for that? Here it comes. Glenn, I've got to tell you, Trans-Siberian Orchestra will never, ever play the halftime
and
show.
And you know, I guarantee the Beatles aren't going to be back either. So
give it up. Yeah. Well, they did. You should have watched it because they actually played a clip of the Beatles doing it.
Oh, did they?
Did the Beatles actually do
a halftime show like 30 years ago or something?
It's the 50-year anniversary of the Super Bowl. So they played clips of a lot of the former artists that played. So you should probably go back and watch that part. And then you'll see the part I'm talking about where Chris Martin says, lights will guide you home. And they play Whitney Houston, which, by the way, was seriously rivaled by Lady Gaga's
song. That was excellent. And I had the feeling when she started, first of all, she looks like that woman on Hunger Games.
Effie Trinket.
Yes, she does. She looked exactly like Effie on Hunger Games. Like she came from the city and the train. But so she starts and I thought, oh God, she's going to butcher this. You just know she's going to like doing runs everywhere and she's just going to butcher it. But then halfway through when she's played it straight up, I thought, wow, this is really good.
She nailed it. And she did a bunch of runs at the end, but they were actually really, really good.
Yeah, it's when they chew it. It's not bad at the end. It's when they try and do them in the middle. You know, or when they forget the words, and she was perfect. She didn't forget the words, which half of them do. And then she did the runs at the, it was actually beautiful. And it if you really closed really your eyes and didn't see Effie Trinket singing it, it was perfect.
Well, Chad was like, who is that? And I was like, isn't that Effie? I mean, of course I knew it wasn't.
Her hair and her eyelashes.
Chad, we couldn't figure, it took us about 30 seconds. And once you heard her singing, I was like, oh, that's Gaga. Because if you hit, we recorded it and we watched it. We were only about 5 minutes behind because Chad had to watch the Phoenix Open. So we didn't hear the initial, now welcome to the stage, Lady Gaga. We just saw her start to sing. And I was like, who? That's a chick from the Hunger Games.
Lady Gaga looks completely different every time you see her. You just don't know what you're going to get.
She really does.
When Lady Gaga first came out, I thought it was a guy in drag. When she first started all those years ago, I thought that's a guy in drag because of what she was wearing. As a first experience with Lady Gaga's, I really thought it was a guy. And bless maybe it is. Maybe we don't know. Yeah,
she's. I think she's all woman, but she was amazing, and I think it was great. Good. I think her. I half expected you to play it this morning because I think you can play it.
I don't know. That's the other thing. I don't want to get in trouble with anything to do with the Super Bowl. Even if we're not allowed to say that name, I don't want to be in trouble.
Here we go. I'll reenact.
That'll be good.
Oh, say, can you see?
Damn, I don't have a mute button for her. No, that doesn't sound at all like it was. Doesn't sound at all. Well, all right, let's leave Super Bowl behind here. I had...
We talked about horse penises already, Glenn. It's not like we haven't talked about horses.
Nothing left to talk about the rest of the day. So we over the weekend, my editor, my new editor, who I absolutely love, is doing a great job for a lot of the shows. His name is Neil. Now, he's a city boy, came from L.A. and then moved to Orlando. He worked as a... You're going to love this. He worked as a videographer for the police department, and he videoed crime scenes. So there's a job. He did that for 7 years. Ugh. And then one night he was video, and I'm allowed to say this because he's told this story on his show. He was videoing a crime scene. He was in the backyard of this apparently gang shooting. Well, the other gang came by and sprayed the place with bullets. And he almost got killed that night, and then he quit that day. And then he went to work for the mayor, and he said, I went from videoing crime scenes to, you know, ribbon cuttings at the local Walmart for the next 7 years. So he worked for the mayor for the next 7 years, and now he's out on his own, has a place called Wild Style Media. But he's a city boy, and his wife is a city girl, and they have a little cute little two-year-old, Talia, who could be a...
Little city kid.
Little city kid. None of them had ever seen a horse in person. Never.
Wow.
So they came up to the farm and spent a day. It was fun. We had them up here. But, you know, that just reminded me of how cool it is when you get that person out for the first time who has never seen a horse. Because that doesn't happen to us too often, because most of the people that come out are horse people, right? So yeah. It was kind of neat having that person come out who had never seen, never touched, didn't know what to do. And that's exactly why I didn't want to see the horses go away from New York City. You know, that was a perfect example right there. So we were just getting back from a ride when they got here. And you'll see a picture on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page. Just scroll down a little bit, where Neil and his beautiful daughter gets to meet the horses for the first time. And Scooter, of course, comes right up to the front of the picture and gets in front of Beaker, because Scooter is not going to be behind Beaker for a picture. And, you know, he's just showing off, and he's just being typical Scooter. Jennifer said this morning, after she looked at the picture, she said, you know, if Scooter was a dog, Scooter would be a Jack Russell. You know, just always in the front of everything, just getting into everything. He'd be a Jack Russell. He's just a center of attention. You're going to look at me. That would be Scooter. And that got me thinking, we should put out a question of the day. If your horse was a dog, what breed would it be? So what about Thor? I was trying to think about Thor. If he was a dog breed.
What's like a super athletic dog breed? Like, what do you think the most athletic dog breed is?
Well, greyhounds are pretty athletic. They're fast, though.
I'd say, like, so agile. Like, what's the most agile. Kind of agile? Like
some of the
border collies.
Yeah,
like
border collie. Yeah, is very agile.
Okay, I would say he has none of that. No, I would say that Thor is 3/4 Saint Bernard, 1/4 border collie.
Oh, there you go. That's perfect.
He's a mix.
That's perfect.
But that St. Bernard part is just the sweetest puppy dog thing. And then the 1/4 that's like, yeah, I'll do that. Like, I'll run and gallop and jump things. That's fine. But I'm not going to really, really do really well at it, because I'm a St. Bernard at heart.
All right, Jennifer, put up the question. If your horse was a dog breed, what breed would it be? So, yeah, I'm interested to see the answer to that. I like your... I think you nailed Thor on the head right there. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Well, we have our first...
Figuratively, people. Figuratively.
Figuratively, yes. Yeah. That's right. We have our first guest ready, and it's always fun to have him back.
All right. Well, please welcome to the show Dr. Gordon Chang. Dr. Chang from Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning.
Good morning, Jamie. Good morning, Glenn. How are you?
Dr. Chang, all the non-football lovers are going, thank God they're going to talk about horses finally.
Like we talked about football.
Well, you do know Omega Alpha does have a dog line.
There you go.
Pets.
Yeah, we've been talking football and dogs.
So, I'm an equal opportunity guest here today.
Wonderful. Perfect, perfect. Now, do you have the same kind of stuff for dogs that you do for horses?
Yes, to a limited extent. It's more joint products, more things for the tummy, you know, like your probiotics and that type of thing. And just because in the sports world, there isn't that much things that dogs do that's serious money. You know what I mean? Like horse racing, you know, there's money. So whenever there's money attached to it, everybody wants to be number one. Whereas when you do things like agility dogs and so on, a lot of people do it because it's for the fun of it, getting their dog into something and for them to get involved with something. You know?
That's interesting. So is your website for that OmegaAlphaCanine.com?
No. It's under our umbrella OmegaAlpha.ca, and from there it'll take you to the pet side of the business. So okay. You know, it's really for health and wealth or well being of your dogs and cats.
Well, see, I have this dog that needs health and well-being, so I'll go check that out a little bit later.
Do you have anything to cure massive infections in the ears? That's what Jamie wants to know.
Oh, you know what? Start off with some probiotics, boost the immune system, because you know what? At the base of it all, dogs, people, horses, we're all mammals. The same basic things that work for people will work for dogs and also works in horses. All you got to do is to make sure you have the right quantity getting into you. And the nice thing about herbal stuff is that for most purposes, most of the stuff that we would have, they're very, very safe. So even if you gave him too much, nothing serious is going to happen. The most he's probably going to do is get diarrhea out of it. You know, so, you know, usually you can get away with a lot of stuff. The only thing I have to be careful about is when I tell people this is that vitamins and minerals are not the same as herbals. The vitamins and the minerals, the safety margins are high, but it's not as high as we would have for some of the herbals, you know. But other than that, it's all good.
I'm gonna look it up right now because there is some Omega Alpha immune disorder products. So I think that is a good idea because actually what I did, Dr. Chang, not that you're my dog vet or anything, but I just went herbal and I just bought some organic earwash stuff that's supposed to really help with the bacteria that's in his ear. So I think boosting his immune system is a great idea. Sold! All right, I'm gonna have to go find Omega Alpha for the dog. Anyway, back to what you're actually going to talk to us about, if you want to get off of the dogs right now.
Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about protocols. I assume we're going to talk a little bit about protocols for your healthy athletic horse. What we're going to do to prep him and so on for a race or for a performance, a dressage performance, a jumping competition, an eventing competition, barrel racing, et cetera, right? One of the first things I will say, you got to have a healthy horse if you're going to do any of these things. And by healthy horse, I mean he's got to be not with a runny nose. Right, his joints have to be sound, his tummy has to be sound, he has to be mentally capable, etc., etc. That's a big order. That's a big list of things that you have to look at. One of my first things that I always tell to everybody, make sure your horse is well fed, make sure your horse is well watered, right? Food and water. And food also, I talk about things like hay. Make sure he or she has a lot of hay, right? So, you know, and the reason for the hay is that the hay keeps the tummy happy because unlike, this is a little bit different between people and dogs, etc. Horses produce acid all the time in their stomach. So when their stomach is empty, right, if you're going to have any type of ulcers and so on, it happens when it's empty because there's nothing to buffer that acid. So if you have constant, if there's always hay, so the horse is able to munch at the hay all the time, you know, that keeps stuff in the stomach and that buffers the acid. Because out in the wild, if you realize it, the horse's head is down chewing grass all day, unless he's spooked by a mountain lion or somebody's chasing him. One horse, he's happy as a pig in poop, head down, munching away at grass, right?
Yeah, that's true. And Jennifer told me something actually that haunts me to this day, and listeners be ready to be just totally screwed. You need to feed your horse something every 4 hours. They don't go without food for 4 hours. Is that correct, or is she just freaked out?
I won't say every 4 hours. And the only reason I won't say every 4 hours is because when people say food and feed, they usually think of two different things. Because you don't want a fat horse. So you don't want to be feeding him grain or pelleted foods, etc., which is very food, which is basically, in my mind, a food concentrate, right?
Okay, so yeah.
And the gut fill for him is basically, hay. If you have, I call it something like a Timothy hay, which is, I call a low-grade thing, high in fiber, low in food value. For him to eat and put something into his stomach. Not necessarily because he needs the extra calories or anything like that.
Okay, so let me change what she actually said. Is don't let them go with an empty stomach for more than 4 hours. So
yes.
It's probably
to
more
me that, that makes to me that makes good sense. But free choice here, just have it hanging, and that's mm-hmm. a good thing. But no, we get past that, then we have to make sure he's well watered, so there's lots of water, and make sure the water is at the right temperature, that even so the horse will drink it. Because out in Florida, you guys don't have to worry about that, but out here in the cold north, sometimes the ice bucket freezes over, and the horse may want to get some, but can't get it, or sometimes the water is cold, so they don't feel like drinking. You know the old adage, you can bring a horse to water, but you can't make him drink, right? So you need to make sure he has enough water, warm temperature water, so that he will drink it, right? Now, those are the management side of it, right? Again, you got to look at things like for a performance horse, you look at supplementation, right? Now, to be fair, most horses can get supplement vitamins and so on in their food that they eat. However, for a performance horse, you need larger amounts. And because the competition, the extra workload you put on the animal requires extra amounts of these vitamins and minerals. So things like B vitamins, right? Some of the things like the calcium, the magnesium, right? Zinc, copper, all those things, they get chewed up and they get excreted just because of use. So you need to just supplement some of it into your animal. That's a little bit about the vitamin mineral supplementation side. Then you have to look at the health of the gut, right? So I talk about things like probiotics, which is a big thing for the gut, right? But then you have horses in performance horses who have ulcers. Right now, ulcers is something that every performance horse, it's been estimated of about 90% of horses have ulcers. So, in some way, shape, or form, they may be bad ulcers or they may be small ulcers just starting out, but they do have ulcers. That's the estimation. Those are the numbers I've seen. Right mm-hmm. now, if you believe those numbers, you've got to make sure that tummy's happy, because if the stomach is not happy, right, you're going to have a horse that's not performing to its optimum, right? So, and to be fair, the ways and means to help control that, you know, things like, as I said, the hay, constant hay to buffer the acid. You can give him things that will help soothe the stomach, right, or the GI tract. Probiotics are big. Right now, I see there's something else coming out for horses, where a lot of people are talking about prebiotics. Now, what prebiotics are? Prebiotics are basically things that probiotics, which is the bacteria, feed off of and grow. The problem with that is most bacteria eat a lot of fiber. Right, so for horses, prebiotics is not a huge thing. Right? I see a lot of it being bandied about now. More and more people are talking about prebiotics for horses. And I'm thinking to myself, if you want to talk about a snow job, that's a good one. Just because the prebiotics, if a horse, then they're vegetarians, they eat a lot of vegetable matter. If you eat mm-hmm. a lot of vegetable matter, there's a lot of fiber. If there's fiber in there, there's stuff that bacteria eat. And if there's stuff that bacteria eat in the fiber, that's your prebiotics. Now, on the people side of the business, is a little bit different, right? Because, there are people who just eat meat and potatoes, right? And they take the potatoes without the skin. So really, the bulk of the potatoes are basically starch. There is no fiber. So for people like that, prebiotics are a big thing. Prebiotics is something that the bacteria feed upon and allows it to grow properly, right?
Dr. Chang, that Jamie's a vegan now, so she doesn't need prebiotics.
Oh, she probably doesn't, but why would she do such a thing?
See, that's thank you. Good answer.
I bet you if Chad and I were to sit down, you know, Chad is probably saying, why?
Oh, I guarantee you Chad has burgers every time he goes out for lunch. I guarantee you.
He has them at lunch because he ain't getting them for dinner.
Well, I will tell you, I have a buddy of mine whose wife is a vegetarian. And when he got married, that's the only thing they ate at home was vegetarian stuff. So he used to love to come visit me for lunch, because when he came to visit me for lunch, we did the steak thing, we did the hamburger thing, we did the meat thing.
Go to the meat restaurant where you hit the green light to get your more meat, and then red light stops. Yeah.
That's it. Sorry, I had to. He's on my side. I have an ally this morning. Woo!
Oh my God, like you need any help. Okay, so back to prebiotics. So prebiotics, not going to help the horse.
It's not necessary for the horse at all whatsoever, because all the bacteria in the horse's gut, they get a lot of their prebiotics already. So you don't really need prebiotics, right? You know, so it's not a huge issue with the horses.
Now, well, let me ask a question real quick, and this might be a stupid question, but for those who have not listened to you for years and years and years, can you give us a Reader's Digest version of the difference between prebiotics and probiotics?
Okay. Probiotics when people say probiotics, they're talking about bacteria. Or they're talking about microorganisms, right? Sometimes there's certain yeast that are also considered probiotics. So your probiotics, the ones that are readily commercially available are things like the Acidophilus, Bifidus, Plantarum, Brevis, KCI, right? Those are just a handful of what we would call probiotics, basically bacteria. They're the same stuff that you use to make yogurt. They're the same stuff you find in cheeses, you know. The yeast would be like the same stuff you'd find in beer, right, Glenn? I called your second name today.
Good job, Dr. Chang. Keep it going.
Yeah. So those are your probiotics. Now, your prebiotics are the things that the bacteria feed upon, right, and help it to grow. So anything the bacteria eats is considered a prebiotic. So the traditional ones that people really, whenever you say the word prebiotic, the first thing that people think about is something called FOS, of which stands for photooligosaccharides, of which the best known one is something called inulin, right? Now, but all inulin is a fiber. It's a soluble fiber that bacteria feed upon. And the reason people think of inulin is because most of the work on prebiotics was done starting with inulin. Right now, people are branching off into different things. But again, basically, a prebiotic is anything that the bacteria feed upon. And the idea with that is that if the bacteria feeds upon it, it grows well, it changes up the microflora in your gut, and so on and so forth. Right. But as I said, for horses, because they eat a lot of fiber anyway, vegetable matter, prebiotics is a non-issue. Prebiotics is a huge issue for people, though, because a lot of us don't eat a lot of fiber. A lot of us don't eat a lot of plant matter, right? Except the vegans and the vegetarians, right? Now, one of the things that is about prepping your horse for performance, again, something as simple as boosting your immune system. Right? That's a huge one that nobody ever thinks about. But I'll tell you, if you have a horse that's not breathing well because he caught a cold or something like that during competition, you know, no matter what you do, this horse is not going to do well. Right. So again, you got to keep them healthy. And it's very simple. It's prevention. So, you know, you make sure you boost the immune system, right? And so on. Now, the boosting the immune system is the toughest one to sell to people, because a lot of times people will say, well, my horse never gets sick, right? So, you know, why would we bother, right? But you never know. During competition, one horse walks up to another horse, picks up a bug of sorts, some sort of a virus. Next thing you know, your horse is sick. You know, it does happen, right? Especially during competition in different arenas and so on.
Gotcha.
So those are some of the I would say the basic, you know, basic things to think about. And last but not least, I also love to talk about detoxification of your animal. Just because in my mind, if you detoxify the liver and the kidneys and so on, what happens is that these organs are much more efficient. And if they're much more efficient, that means they can handle a higher toxin load before things start to happen. And if they can handle a higher toxin load, that means your horse is automatically going to be healthier. And I always say, my adage has always been, you know, a mediocre horse that's healthy and primed is going to outperform a fantastic horse that's sick on any given day.
Now, let's tie it back into your products. So what are we looking at product-wise? What do we look at when we go to OmegaAlphaEquine.com?
Okay, so we have the Immune Plus to boost the immune system, right? We have the Biotic 8 to keep the probiotic healthy, microflora healthy in the gut. You have the GastroFX, which is also helps with the gut. We have the new product called Regenerate, which is a good, it's good for the intestinal tract, which, you know, things for ulcers and so on. It works there very well. Then as far as the detox side goes, we have things like the liver flush, the kidney flush, right? We have the Minerac for the mineral replacement, right? And the calcium and magnesium and so on, with the B vitamins. That's a new Minerac. We have some Bantiox, which is higher in vitamin E, selenium, zinc. Right, so you know, those are some of the key ones that I'm looking at right off the get-go.
Very good. And of course, we can find all of that at OmegaAlphaEquine.com. And we also wanted to mention that you do have another free teleseminar coming up the last Monday of the month at 9 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern. So is it run two times? Is that what they're saying there?
Yes.
Okay.
It does run the two different times, just because what we've realized is that people who, because of the time zone difference and we're across Canada, right, it makes sense to split it up like that.
Okay, and that's February the 29th on Protocols for Equine Athletes, just continuing this discussion in a little more depth. And registering is easy. Just call them at 800-651-3172 and ask for Joanne to get your web classroom address and entry code, or go to Omega Alpha website for all the information you need to sign up, and that's OmegaAlphaEquine.com. And I'll pay you later for helping me out there. I appreciate that. No problem.
Thanks.
Well, one other thing before I forget. Yeah. Happy Chinese New Year to everyone out there.
Is it today?
Oh, yeah.
It is today.
Well, happy Chinese New Year. Yeah, do you celebrate that too?
Unfortunately, no, because I was born in Trinidad, and at best of times, we didn't even know it was happening.
You can make
Being in Canada now, with a bigger Chinese population, etc., and it's in the news a lot more, I do know when it is.
Oh, there you go. So now do you celebrate? Do you have like noodles or something? What do they do on Chinese New Year? I don't know. Help me out.
It's a big celebration. It's like Christmas. Chinese New Year for the Chinese population is like Christmas to us, everyone else. Lots of food, lots of presents, lots of drink.
And I just asked Chad, and he said the exact same thing. He's like, because he flies with the Singaporean squadron, and they celebrate Chinese New Year. And he said, lots of food, lots of drinks, and they take the day off.
Yeah.
And
unfortunately, it's a Monday, and they don't work for the government. So a lot of people aren't working on Chinese New Year here in Canada, and I believe in most of the U.S. too.
And the other thing I remember is the large dragons in the streets. Those like big papier-mâché dragons. You always see those when you see celebrations with Chinese New Year.
For sure. And then they'll have the dragon dance and so on.
Yeah.
But that's more community oriented. But if you want something like closer to home, lots of food, lots of drink, lots of
Okay, well, I know they're not eating. I know they're not eating turkey and potatoes. So what is the food of choice? Do they have one?
I think it depends on the region that they come from. Because like if you're from southern China, right? There's probably going to be a lot of roasted, like roast duck and so on, right? And if you're from northern China, there's probably a lot of dumplings, right? Because the food in each region is a little bit different.
Chad just said it was duck.
Duck?
Yeah, Chad just said duck.
Duck.
So the Singaporeans, it's duck.
Yeah. It's like duck.
Are they out?
Anyway.
Are they out roasting it like in a big open pit behind the airplanes there at the base or?
Yeah, it's pigs too. They do. They roast pigs and roast ducks
really?
At the Air Force. Yeah,
I was
it's
joking.
Insane. In the hangar. In the hangar.
So the pilots can do that. They're multi-talented, so they know how to cook that well.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He says they also hire one of those big chefs with the big giant knives, and they.
That makes sense.
I guarantee there's no vegetable. No vegetable. Maybe a broccoli, one little piece, but that's it.
Yeah, it's like the vegetarians having tofu.
She made me try tofu when I was out there, Dr. Chang. That was the most disgusting stuff ever. I don't care what anybody says.
I would say, why would a vegetarian want to make something look like meat? If you're a vegetarian, be a vegetarian.
Because nothing died, Dr. Chang. Nothing died.
We're getting under her skin now, Dr. Chang. We better call it a day. OmegaAlphaEquine.com. Thanks, Dr. Chang.
Speaking up, Dr. Chang, we got to let you go. I can't hear you. Static.
Bye. Have a good day, all.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Bye-bye.
You're on my list. He's on my list.
I have to remember to, we're recording driving show later in the day. I have to remember to tell Wendy Happy New Year. She probably won't even know. You watch. You watch.
She's going to eat Glenn
the
Duck.
She's only half Chinese, too. So maybe that's
Glenn funny. The Duck is going to get it today on Chinese New Year.
That's it. Glenn the Duck. She's not eating Glenn the Duck. She loves that duck. That's my namesake.
Well, she better watch out. Her family might try to come and get him.
All right. Boy, well, the show is all over the place. This should be a Friday. We are going to hear from Equestrian Collections, and then I have a song for you. What am I going to play? I thought I'd play a little Flor Magali today, and then we're coming back. We have a bunch more guests. We have a lot to do yet on the show. We have Kristen from Horse Nation is going to be on. We're going to talk Clydesdales because we didn't get any last night. And then Jenny Autry is going to talk about a cool event that happened over the weekend. And one of our guests from last week did very well. So we're going to continue the show after this.
Hi, Jen. This week I'm featuring the Ovation Fantasia Half Chaps in Ladies. The Ovation is coming out with an entire line, a Fantasia line. And the thing that is so super cool about this stuff is the bling. All your listeners know I'm all about the bling, and I think you are too. these have some crystals on them, but not too much. It doesn't make them like way out there. It just gives them some really good accents. They come in a couple of colors. They come in the black pastel, and they're also going to have some different bling on them. So they're going to be coming out with some other things, and we'll have them on our site, www.equestriancollections.com, a bridle, I believe, and a few other things that will match these chaps. But right now, we do have the half chaps on the site, and I have actually seen these in person, and they are very cool. I think they have just enough bling to be fun, but not too much to be over the top. Right now, the sizes available are medium and small. There is a size chart on the site for you to look at. But I know that they're going to be getting some more in the very near future. So this is a good time to plan to look at www.equestriancollections.com and see if you can't get your Fantasia outfit together and start out with the half chaps. Because you can always use half chaps.
Who can't use half chaps? The ones you've been wearing for the past 3 years are disgusting, dirty, and need to be thrown away. Go check out EquestrianCollections.com. The Ovation Fantasia half chaps with just the right amount of bling.
Please let me feel that your love for me is real. Cause my home is in your arms. Let us share all the secrets we've ever had. You're the one, no matter what others say. It's my life and it's my heart. I'll let you in, won't let you down. Cause it's you I have searched and found. If you only
And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network, brought to you today by Omega Alpha Equine. Glenn, I got some news about your girl.
Which girl? Kaylee Cuoco.
Kaylee Cuoco or Cuoco, whatever you call it. She has got the horse bug, as we know, and she is super rich. So what do? When you're super rich and you love horses, you go to Herme. Okay. Do you know what Herme is?
No, explain what Herme is.
Google it, and it's called, spell it like this, Hermes, H-E-R-M-E-S.
Oh, yeah. Hermes is the one that had the tack and stuff that was like millions of dollars.
It's called Herme, Glenn.
Okay.
She bought $4,000 in wallpaper from Herme. It's horse print. It's really cool, but it's a little busy. I'll post the link on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page so you can see it.
How do you say it again?
Google Kaylee Cuoco $4,000.
Wallpaper.
It'll come up. It's on usmagazine.com.
Oh, there it is. Us magazine. That's over 3,000. How do people find out about this, by the way? Oh, my God, is that busy? that's really busy.
It's a little busy. But she says, I know. Someone stopped me. I can't help it. Wallpaper. If you can't pick a paint color, find some amazing wallpaper. It changes the room.
Could you stay in that room for more than 2 seconds? I mean, my God.
They found out about it because she tweeted it. Hashtag Herme polo paper, hashtag horses, hashtag Kaylee's obsession, hashtag Jeff Andrews design, or whatever, something like that.
You know, when you make $1 million an episode, you can pretty much buy whatever wallpaper you want.
I guess so.
Yeah, but that is a busy room.
She posted it herself.
Well, there's nobody left at home. She's divorced.
Hashtag I'm not hiring Jeff Andrew for my design. Because I don't think... Now, also in celebrity news.
Celebrity Gossip Day.
It's Celebrity Gossip Day. Wouldn't it be nice to live in Southern California, Montecito, California, maybe, on a sweeping 23-acre horse farm? It would be. Hailed as a once-in-a-lifetime property that hasn't been on the market in over 30 years, the Seymour Farm Estate was just purchased for $28,850,000. I said that wrong. Almost $29 million. I
there can't you go.
Almost $29 million, and she's not even going to use it for horses. Who am I talking about? Oprah Winfrey. When Oprah buys your place,
how many properties does she own?
I know. And so apparently she's made some nice money talking about
the weight loss thing.
The weight loss thing.
Yes, yes. And yeah, she made like $40 million in one day because stock skyrocketed after she announced that she was part of it.
Do you know she bought it? She actually owns a large portion of
Weight Watchers. That's how she got into it. But yeah. So is that insider trading when you yourself can buy something and then if you buy it and you announce it wherever that it's going to just raise the stock 100%, isn't that really insider trading?
That happens to me all the time.
Yes, I know.
The time, and people are coming after me right and left for it. Yeah.
That's why you're still doing this show. Yeah.
That's why I'm still doing the show. So here we go. A very private sanctuary featuring 4 bedrooms, 5 baths, a pool, sprawling orchards, and a fish pond with stables, acres of farmland, a barn, arenas, everything. And she's probably not. She actually has already said that she will not be bringing horses because the property had horses on it. And she was like, no, I don't want it. Take all it. Keep them to get them out. But she will have some celebrity residents. She will not be alone. Jeff Bridges, Ellen DeGeneres, Andrew Barrymore live in adjacent properties.
Oh, is she where? Oh, she's where Ellen lives. Because remember, Ellen sold that huge farm for like $50 million or whatever and then bought another one? We had that in the news not too long ago, too.
Yeah, I think so.
They're all hanging in the same hood, huh?
Winfrey is a smart buyer and does have an amazing vision for the property. She's had a number of experts inspect different aspects of the property and paid extensive due diligence to the property package we provided, said the spokeswoman in the press release. She doesn't make financial decisions on a whim and blah, blah, blah. You know, she basically she doesn't want horses. So we're not going to see Oprah at the horse shows. Wouldn't that be cool? Love her. Can't help it.
Well, there you go. I don't think she's a vegan, though. I'm just saying.
She eats bread, Glenn. She could be a vegan.
All right, let's go to our next guest. You know, we were all whining earlier in the show about how the Super Bowl commercials let us down, and especially Budweiser, who just decided that horses were not worth talking about anymore, and Don Jeans was not going to be included in the commercials anymore. So you were stalking him. I assume he never got back to you to tell you that he was not in the commercial.
No, he did not. And so I went to his Facebook page to see what was going on in the Don Jeans world, and he has posted nothing about it at all. But the problem is that everybody who loves him has come, because you can't post on his page. Yeah. They're posting in the comments of posts he's made. What? Why weren't you there?
And of course, we're talking about the hot farmer who was in the commercials the last couple of years with the puppies. So that's who we're talking about. We've had him on our show. And you know what? He's going to miss that paycheck this year. I guarantee you.
If you were to Google or Facebook search for Don Jeans, the post where I hashtagged him comes up.
Oh, good. Yeah.
So he knows that I love him.
Well, you know, Leslie from Horse Nation is on a worldwide trip hanging with royalty in England and riding horses and fox hunting and doing all those things everybody dreams about doing, because that seems to be Leslie's life. And then she leaves Kristen from Horse Nation at home to do the work. You always seem to be left behind, and she's always out doing these fun things. How do you get that bad gig you've got?
Well, you know, I still think that the First Nation gig is a dream gig on its own. So sometimes I'm like, this doesn't count.
That's a good answer to keep your job. That's a good answer. It's a good answer.
It's pretty good. You know, it's really fun to explain to people what it is that I do, you know. So I manage a blog about horses, and they're like, okay, cool. I'm going to talk to someone more interesting, but it's fine. I enjoy it. So. And clearly everyone else does too. So.
Have we heard any reports from Leslie? She's been fox hunting like in Ireland and Scotland and all those places where it's really dangerous. Does she have all of her limbs? Do we know?
The most I've heard from her, I know she at least must have some because she liked a photo I put on Instagram. So I'm like, well, she's alive. So
okay, good.
Well. I haven't seen any photos or heard from her directly yet, but I think she's doing okay, hopefully.
So, all right, good.
I'm excited to hear her back. I really want to know how this is going. I hope she bought a GoPro camera. That's really what I wanted to see.
Anyway.
The helmet cam.
I guess she's coming home next week, so we'll get her on next week to tell us all about her trip. She really does live the life. Her and Darlene Newman from Equitrekking have the life that every horse girl wants. Getting to do the cool stuff.
Yeah, travel the world.
Yeah.
Ride the pony. Horse things. Have a great time.
Yeah. Wasn't she in Iceland last year, Leslie? Was it Iceland?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, she went to Iceland and bolted around like a champion, and now she's fox hunting around also like a champion. So. Yeah,
and there you are in cold Pennsylvania doing your thing.
Yeah, it's supposed to be, I think, a negative something next weekend, so I'm super excited for that. That's going to be great.
Yeah, nice, you know what? Silly. You don't even need to say what it is. Negative something is good enough. That's just cold.
Yeah, once there's a negative in front of it, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter anymore.
You can't feel a difference. It stinks either way. So.
Anything under 70 is cold. What are you talking about?
All right. You posted on Horse Nation yesterday, I guess. And it was something because, you know, we were all very disappointed in not seeing any Clydesdales of, you know, except through the foggy smoke for about 4 seconds. And you posted on there the 15 Budweiser Clydesdale facts for Super Bowl Sunday. So we thought we'd geek out with a little Clydesdale trivia this morning.
Now, and if I may, I'd like to preface this with a very short story.
Okay.
Yesterday, we were giving wagon rides at the Chautauqua Institution in Western New York. It's just something our draft horse club does. And I've been joking with our other driver. I said, you know, it's going to be Super Bowl Sunday. Everyone's going to be asking. You know, we have a joke that Clydesdales have become for draft horses, but Kleenex has become for facial tissues.
That's probably true.
Like, oh, my God, it's a Clydesdale, no matter what it is. So, you know, we drive two black Percherons. And our friend mostly drives Belgians, but he does have a Clydesdale. So he brought one of the Clydesdales along and mixed his hitch just to show people the difference. You know, so if people ask, oh, my God, it's a Clydesdale, he could point out, no, this one's a Clydesdale and this one's not. So, you know, we get all harnessed up and we drive up to the spot where we pick up our passengers. And I kid you not, the first person in line looks at our black horses and he goes, oh, these are beautiful Clydesdales. Oh, no. So we had to start all over and tell everybody. So, unfortunately, if you have a draft horse, you have a Clydesdale, no matter what it is.
You should have just hung signs off of them. Clydesdale Percheron, you know, and then you could have solved the problem.
Yeah. Well, we really thought we were making it a teachable moment by having three different breeds represented, but it doesn't matter, I guess.
They're all Clydesdales. The average...
Yeah, well.
Clydesdales
but, you know,
are beautiful.
As far as real Clydesdales, though.
They are beautiful. Yeah.
They're very nice. Yes. Yeah. I don't think they're as nice as our Percherons, but that's fine.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm a Percheron guy, so I'm with you.
Yeah.
A black one, so I don't do gray. Sorry.
No, black one's much easier to keep clean.
That's true. Well, here are some of the things that you came up with. All right. So the first team of Budweiser Clydesdales came on the scene in 1933. And I had heard this because it was kind of the celebration of the end of Prohibition. And August Busch, I think he was second in line, right? Was one of the ones that did it as a gift or something. It wasn't meant to be a whole lifelong thing, right?
Right. Yeah. It seems like it was just like a one-time thing. Like, hey, this will be cool. And Budweiser actually did a commercial that I think was loosely based on historical fact. I think it was their, I don't remember. We put a collection of all their commercials up as well yesterday. Mm-hmm. And I think it was maybe 2011. They had the commercial of the end of Prohibition. It's very dramatic. You know, with the Clydesdales come trotting through, throwing beer to everybody. And if that's at all like what actually happened, it'd be pretty sweet. So, but it sounds like it was a gift. And then, they must have become iconic enough that they just kept going with it.
Well, they did have, obviously, you know, beer was delivered by draft horses back in the early 1900s. And the beer wagons, like the right. Clydesdale beer wagon, was, in fact, how they delivered the beer. So it was, you know, it did have some, I don't know. Clydesdales weren't real popular back then. Actually, Percherons were the most popular breed of draft horse back in the early 1900s mm-hmm. in the United States and the cities. It was that. And there were some Belgians and things, but it was mostly Percherons back then. So there's your trivia, everybody, yeah, for the morning. Your draft horse trivia. go ahead.
Let's see. Well, the Dalmatian is the official dog of the hitch.
Right.
And there's a picture of it on the Horse Nation website. Although somehow along the way now everyone believes it's the Yellow Lab, thanks to the commercial. So I'm not really sure how that's going.
Because they're the cutest really things ever.
They are pretty cute. I'll give them that. So, and it turns out that in the Lost Dog commercial, that was 8 different puppies playing the role of one dog. So, I don't know. Well, I mean, last
only
I
one hot guy
can train a puppy.
Was it 8 hot guys or one hot guy? I think
it was only one hot guy.
One hot guy. Although, actually, the trick trainer for the Clydesdales also made a cameo appearance in that commercial too. So, I don't think he was terribly hot. I don't know if you could see him or not. But,
I'm trying to remember
there,
if we had him on the shows. We had Don Jeans, the hot guy. We've had him on the show. Basically, Jamie stalked him for a year until he gave up and came on.
I literally got him the next
strategy.
Year.
Yeah, she did. Yeah. She got him in the
it
next
took a year.
It took a year to get him. And I think he didn't have any work, so he just was glad to be talking to somebody. And this year, he's probably on the bread line. This guy was out of Wyoming, right? The trainer guy?
Yeah, Du Bois, Wyoming. Yep.
Yeah.
I actually worked at a ranch across town from there, and we had no idea that that's where it was happening, or we would have driven over there and tried to stalk him a little bit and figure out what he was doing. But Du Bois, Wyoming at the Turtle Ranch, Robin Wiltshire. So,
and he's a big
trainer
for movies and stuff of all kinds of animals, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does a lot of commercial animals and movie animals. So I know when we were out in Du Bois working on this ranch, he was doing quite a lot with longhorn steers. So at one point we remembered driving by and he had 4 longhorn steers on a hot walker just going around. So
gotta keep in shape.
So
now
gotta look good for their TV.
Because you lived there, I'm gonna let slide that is it really Du Bois and not Du Bois, Wyoming?
Yes. You know what? We knew the trivia of why. I think they called it. Oh, okay. We're getting way off topic, but the town used to be called Never Sweat because it's very dry.
Never Sweat.
and the post office, when this is at least the story that we told, yes, but take this all with a grain of salt. But when the post office applied, I guess, for getting a post office, they said that's a stupid name. So they assigned them the name Du Bois. And that was, I guess, the way that Mr. Du Bois, that they named the town after, that was the way he pronounced it. So Du Bois, Wyoming.
Well, it's like
it's
living in Versailles,
yeah. Kentucky. That's
yeah,
right.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yes. Yeah. Okay, see, I always thought it was Versailles. There you go.
It is in France.
Yeah, not right, Kentucky. Yeah. Oh, so sorry, didn't mean to interrupt. So,
we've seen this happen several times because we've been around the Clydesdales quite a bit over the years. And we were at Keeneland, and they were at Keeneland, and we went down because they were showing everybody around. They had a press thing, so we went down. And your number 4 was that when they take them out to walk, they try, if they're in tight spaces and things where they can't get exercise, they walk them 4 at a time and around for an hour. And we saw them out there. There were several groups of 4 out there walking around. And it's just, they had them in one hand. They had the 4 lead ropes in one hand and they walked like they're in the hitch, just side by side by side.
That's
seriously?
Amazing. Yeah.
We actually on either side?
Yeah. They just have one hand and they had 4 of them in one hand and they were just dragging along right behind them, just walking along.
They're so tame. They're like big dogs. I'm like, I don't know how that's possible.
They are so trained. It's incredible to see them just clunking along there. Not, you know, ours, if it was our horses, they'd be all carrying on and one would be biting the other and it'd be a mess.
Yeah.
But
you'd
have lead ropes all tangled up in each other's feet.
I can't even lead one in.
Yeah. 4 at a time. So it was interesting. Tell us where all the hitches are located. Because there's 3 hitches, right?
Yes, yeah. They have one based out of St. Louis, Missouri, and then there's one in New Hampshire that actually I did not know about. I thought it was just the two in Missouri, and then Fort Collins, Colorado was the other one. So that New Hampshire hitch, I don't know where
that's in Merrimack, isn't it? It's in Merrimack, yes. I think. Yeah, New Hampshire.
Yep, and then they have their breeding operation at Warm Springs Ranch in Missouri. And then I guess they also have a second smaller one at Grant's Farm in St. Louis. So Missouri, I think, is definitely their big headquarters for the Clydesdale.
And Jamie, your phone, I think, is near the mic. So now the rigs are interesting. We got to see the rigs, and they have multiple 50-foot rigs that they use to haul the horses and the carriage and everything. And we got to see up close and personal the winch they use. The winch is huge, enormous, that they use to winch it up in there. And when they winch that wagon up into the back of that truck, there is a clearance of about 1 inch on each side. I mean, that thing just fits in there. It's amazing to see them. And the harness is incredible. You know, the collars weigh 50 to 60 pounds each.
Jeez, do you just totally geek out?
Oh, I did. Oh, I was totally geek out. Totally geeked out. Yes,
this is like your favorite thing
is.
Ever.
It's incredible to watch them because they'll braid those horses in like a half an hour, and you'll have them braided.
That part is amazing.
Yeah,
yeah, and you know it takes me like probably 2 hours to do one mane. That's because I have to YouTube it halfway through to remember how to roll the mane properly. So
what do I do with the string?
Yeah, where's this one go?
Take it all out again.
Now, and
it's definitely a multi-person job. I know that they state in this article that was written by Carla Lake, she states that one person does tails. And that's, I would like to see that be done because I've never been able to do a tail braid with less than two people. So
yeah. Yeah,
you definitely need four hands at one point.
And that's a big tail. It's a big tail.
Yeah. So. Yeah. So I don't know how that's done. I would like to see a video of one person doing tails.
Well, you know, if you want to see the rest of that article, head over to horsenation.com. There's a lot more details and interesting things. Does everybody feel better now that we've got our Budweiser fix a little bit after the disappointment from last night? I mean, the only reason half this audience watched was to see that one commercial show up, and then it was that.
I was so surprised that it didn't get leaked to me. You know, usually people, non-horse people, always post horse things on your Facebook page. I was like, I can't believe nobody's posted it. I guess I'll have to sit down and watch.
Because it sucked.
Yeah, we managed to put it up on Friday, and Lorraine Jackson made a meme with Christopher Walken. It says, what this commercial needs is Mark Clydesdale. So I'll have to share that to your Facebook.
Oh, yeah, definitely do that.
Share that with your readers. Yeah, there was lots of very angry readers. And
I
then
bet.
We had other readers saying, no, surely they have one that they're just it's like an ace up their sleeve. They're just waiting. And I watched the whole game waiting.
You know, their ace up the sleeves was Helen Mirren in the Don't Drunk Drive commercial where she was all snarky. I played that one on Friday.
So that was pretty good.
That was pretty good. Yeah, she's because it was
strategy.
Her.
You can get behind that.
Yeah, it was her. That was the only reason that one was good. All right, we got Jenny Autry, one of your counterparts, coming on next to talk to us a little bit about the Wellington Showcase. Thank you so much for filling in for Leslie today. We appreciate it, Kristen.
No problem. Thank you. Have a great week.
Talk to you soon.
Thanks, girl.
Hey. Bye-bye.
Oh, I'm going to do this live on the air. We're going to get Jenny on here on Skype.
You're just going straight dial, not. She's not on hold or anything. You're just going to call her up right now.
I think so. I think we're just going to get her right on here. So,
do
the Jeopardy music. We need that for like when we're waiting.
Hello.
Hey, there she is. How are you?
Doing great. How are you?
Okay, you are on the air. I don't want you to say anything you shouldn't. So,
okay,
you're live.
Yay!
Live on Horses in the Morning, and it has been some morning. It's been like. I don't know. Pretty much just a mess all day. We've just been going through everything here. So now we just had your counterpart on, Kristen, talking about the lack of Clydesdales in the commercials. And we're going to switch gears totally because you didn't care about the Super Bowl because you were watching a sporting event much more popular.
Yes, well, the Wellington Eventing Showcase, yes, eclipses the Super Bowl, absolutely.
Absolutely, yes. And there were tens of millions of people there, right?
Yes. People as far as the eye can see down in Wellington to watch the eventers go around the cross-country course on the Derby and Polo fields, which is not how they are used for every other weekend of the year. But for the Wellington Eventing Showcase, the Inventors sort of take over down in South Florida. It's a blast, and everybody has the best time. And it was once again a very, very successful event.
Now, we're not going to tell anybody, but I did tune into some of the dressage because they did do dressage.
Yes.
And it had the usual two people watching in the crowd. So I'm assuming everybody came out to watch the jumping and skip the dressage.
They did. And it was, I mean, it was still a beautiful day, but it was a bit chilly and windy that day. So I do think that maybe drove away some spectators.
There's three other people that would have come out, stayed home and watched it on TV.
Yes. Yes, exactly, Glenn. Okay. But the next day was beautiful. I mean, not a cloud in the sky, great breeze blowing. And what's fun is because of how the Palm Beach International Equestrian Center is set up, everyone's kind of across the road showing on the other side. And then they just kind of zip over in their golf carts to watch the cross country. And you kind of see them coming, like a swarm of golf carts coming like over from the other side of the showground so that everyone can see the cross country. And it's neat because you're watching people discover the sport of eventing for the first time. Many of them have never seen anything like a cross country course before. So it's really neat to see the sport exposed to a whole new base of fans. And of course, you also have many people who are longtime eventing fans and know a lot about the sport who take the showcase as a good reason to get out of the cold wherever they are in the U.S. and come down and just have a really great weekend down in Florida.
It looked amazing. It looked so fun. It was so neat how, and we didn't talk about this on Friday, but how the show jumping that went through the VIP tent?
So the cross-country course actually went through the VIP tent, which I'd never seen anything like that before. And everyone was kind of scratching their heads thinking, how exactly is this going to work? And they were saying,
Would they get a martini on the way through? You could grab a drink?
Well, I was really hoping that somebody was going to grab a drink on the way through.
Grab a drink? I'm surprised.
I know. I was shocked, quite frankly. But we wondered, are they going to raise the roof a little bit so that the people don't have to duck as they ride under? But nope, they just left it exactly as it was. The riders ducked under, and it was really fun. Everybody loved it. It rode perfectly. There were no problems at all. So I definitely think that we're going to see that again next year and in the future, just because it was really cool for the spectators to be able to stand right there on the rail in the VIP tent and have the horses and riders gallop right by.
That's so cool. This has become such a popular event, probably because it has some serious prize money too.
Definitely.
The eventers all want to be it. And this was an invitation only, right?
It is. It's an invitation only event where they look at the top ranked riders from different countries on the FEI rankings. And we had 35 total horses and riders competing. So they do keep it smaller as more of an exhibition style type of thing. And this year, the prize money was $75,000. And Mark Bellissimo has confirmed that that will go up to $100,000 for next year's event. Yes.
Well, tell us about the competition. So what happened?
Well, Boyd Martin won last year for the first year that the event was ever held with Trading Aces. And he won for a second year in a row this year and on a different horse named Blackfoot Mystery, which is a horse that is still relatively new to him. He took over the ride from Kelly Prather on that horse last summer. And they were in third place after dressage, and then they jumped a clear show jumping round, which is actually the first round that the Boyds had clear on this horse since he got him. He's done a lot of hard work with Richard Pickin and also with our eventing team show jumping coach, Silvio Mazzoni, to get that horse jumping clear rounds. And so that boosted them up to the top of the leaderboard, and then they went around clear and inside the time on cross country to win. So Mark Bellissimo was joking that, you know, Boyd's not allowed to come back anymore because he keeps winning, taking all the prize money with him. But so it was a great weekend for Boyd's team. And then Colleen Rutledge and Cover Wrights.
Let me mention, too, we had her on the show last week, Colleen.
I know. So maybe you gave her a little bit of good luck, I was thinking.
Yeah, she kicked butt.
She did great. It's been really fun to see her partnership continue to improve and develop with this horse. It's one that she bred herself, Thoroughbred Clydesdale Cross, which people also love that he's got a bit of draft horse in him, but that doesn't seem to slow him down on the cross country at all. And he looked in super good form. And that's another horse that has struggled a little bit in the show jumping, but she also had a beautiful clear round. And I asked her afterwards you know, now that we've seen you jump a clear show jumping around both at Burley last fall and now in Wellington this past weekend, is that a turning point for you as a team? And Colleen is so competitive. So, of course, she said, I won't say for sure that we've turned the corner in show jumping until I'm in the lead. And then I jump a clear round when the pressure is on. So I thought that was cool that she's, you know.
Good answer. Yeah.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that she nearly won it, that wasn't good enough for her.
She's snarky, too. I was surprised in that interview I did how snarky she is.
She's hilarious. Yeah. I adore Colleen, and I'm excited to see her having the success that she deserves. And it's going to be a really fun season to watch her.
A few recognizable names on the list in the top 10, too.
Yes. What was really cool was that we had riders come from England to compete. So we had Dan Jocelyn and Tim Price, who are two really well-known New Zealand riders who are based over in England for the rest of the year. And Joe Meyer and Ruthie Meyer encouraged them to come over, check out the competition, see how much fun it is. And Dan ended up finishing third on a catch ride that he'd only ridden once before the whole competition.
Wow.
I know, and he finished third. That was really cool. That was a horse called Devil Munchkin. And then Philip Dutton was the only rider to finish two, both of his rides in the top 10. So he had a great day as well. And another fun thing was that Allison Springer had Arthur back out competing.
Yay.
For the first year. I know. So he looks unbelievable. He's 17 this year. And you guys aren't going to believe this. She is aiming him for their 7th Rolex appearance.
Wow. Oh, great.
Isn't that unbelievable that a horse has such amazing longevity?
Wasn't he first after dressage, too?
Yeah, a few years ago. For this competition.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes. He was leading after dressage. They had one rail down in the show jumping, and then they were clear with just a...
Boy, that show jumping still getting Arthur.
But, well, and he is notoriously spooky, so he definitely was looking around a lot. But that's why it's so good for the riders to be able to bring these horses to a showcase competition like this so early in the season, because it's going to get them exposed to seeing a lot going on in the ring, a lot of people crowding the rails, and that's going to be... great prep as they look ahead to Kentucky, where there's so much atmosphere and energy and just a lot going on.
Is there more talk of these? Because I think these are a great thing for what you said, introducing people that have never seen eventing to this kind to eventing, really. But
definitely,
it's also easier for the riders to do. They come in, you know, it's a couple day thing, and then they leave. So and you can get more prize money because you can get more spectators. So is it something that there's talk of doing more of?
There's definitely a desire to see more events like this. And it, for all the reasons you identified, Glenn, it gives them a chance to ride for more prize money than, quite frankly, they're going to see for the entire rest of the season. Their owners are treated like kings and queens in this beautiful VIP tent where they can watch everything ringside. And it's a great experience for the spectators to get up close with the riders, too. So I would love to see more of this. It's not a sanctioned, recognized competition. It's just kind of it's exactly what the title says. It is a showcase event to introduce people to the sport and just do something fun and different. So I would love to see more of it. There's no actual plans for anything else quite like it yet, but thankfully we have this event, which will continue to return in the winter every year down in Wellington.
Hmm. Terrific. Well, what fun. And you got to be warm for a couple days too.
Yes. Anytime I can get out of the frozen tundra of the north is always a good day in my book. So I enjoyed it immensely. And it's one of those events that everyone is putting on their calendar to go to, and you can see why. So if you have not had a chance to get down to Wellington ever, start thinking about it for next year, because it is so much fun.
It is a cool place. You really have to see everything that goes on there, from the dressage ring, you know, a venue, to over where the millions of show jumpers are.
Yes.
Like little flies all over that place.
Yes, I mean, they are.
It's just incredible to see the show jumping once, because they just are everywhere. I mean, it's just...
Yes, it is a whole other world. It is,
yes,
a whole other world.
It is.
There.
It's a world into itself. There's no question about
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
And then I discovered, Jamie, this morning that Jenny lives in the same town Jennifer grew up in. And I didn't know that till this morning.
It is
morning.
A Horse World is a small one.
Yeah, so it sure is. Sure is. We had our farm.
Cool.
We had our farm not too far from you, and mm-hmm. she went to the high school right there, and her mother still lives there, a couple miles from you, actually. So, small world. Thank you, Jenny. You know, we appreciate you coming on every time we call you at the last minute and say, can you do this?
Well, I'm always happy to be on, Glenn, anytime. I'm happy to come on and talk about eventing.
All right. Sounds great. Thanks, Jenny. It's eventingnation.com. Well, we're not going to end the show today like we normally would end it right here. We're going to say goodbye to Jamie because I think she probably needs to get off. She has a vet coming today. So if you missed the beginning of the show, you're going to want to go back and hear why.
I'll take pictures and video. Maybe I'll periscope the penis. maybe I won't.
Maybe you won't.
It's vet day because then Lucky goes in today as well. So one more trip to the vet for poor little Lucky.
Well, we have a special. We thought seeing that Denver won. If Denver hadn't won, I wouldn't have played this. But we have a special thing for you coming up. It's Ann Judge Wegener, who is the one who rides the Denver Broncos mascot, Arabian Horse Thunder. She rode in the Super Bowl last night, but she had ridden in a previous Super Bowl. And Kim Baker got her on in one of her episodes in 2014, where she talks about one of her previous harrowing Super Bowl rides. So I just thought I'd let you listen to this as kind of a bonus. We'll be back here tomorrow. It's Endurance Day on Horses in the Morning, and then Jamie will be back on Wednesday. So thank you, Jamie. Have a great day, and
all right,
good luck
everybody.
With the vet.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. Bye.
Right, let's take a listen. And if you're jumping out and you're sick of football, we'll see you tomorrow. Otherwise, here is Ann Judge Wegener.
Well, there's somebody coming up that drifts to a lot of different things and has the nerves of steel, and we're going to meet her. I'm so excited to meet her, and I think Kim did this just for my benefit today, so why don't you introduce our next guest?
So Ann Judge Wegener, she is best known as the Rider of Thunder, the Denver Broncos mascot, but she is also well known in the Arabian Horse Association. She's very active in our local Colorado Arabian Horse Club. She's a horse trainer. She's a judge. She's a competition rider herself. She rides both English and Western. She does it all. Her husband, Terry Wegener, competes in reining. Welcome, Ann, to the show.
Hey, Kim, it's great to talk to you again. How are you?
I'm good. I love talking with you as always, Anne. It's just such a pleasure to speak horse with you, and we're on this new radio network, the Horse Radio Network, and we have Glenn with us as well, and he's been dying to meet you.
Well, how are you this morning? And I understand, let's see, I should have been paying more attention. I was making notes myself. You're a dog person. I think that's correct.
Yeah, and I own I have ponies too. So you know, I got my ponies.
Right.
I drive horses. So you know, I don't ride, but I do drive and been a driver for many, many, many years. And I did tell everybody earlier in the show. I said that you're the one that when we watch on TV, your smile just lights up a stadium. If there's somebody that one smile can light up, 60,000 people, it's you.
Well, that is so kind. I'll tell you, I have a lot to smile about. Number one, of course, that's a really exciting venue, as you can imagine. And anytime the fans see Thunder and I, it's because something good has happened, like the Broncos have scored. And so we're running on the field celebrating that. So, that, of course, that's very exciting. That's a lot to smile about. But the most important thing is that, can you believe how incredible that is to have a horse in that kind of a public venue where we can show their beauty, majesty, kindness, loyalty, faithfulness, all of those things that we know about our equine friends, and that I get to do that on any given Sunday in front of over 75,000 people. So, yeah, it's not hard to find lots of things to smile about, I'll tell you.
Even when it's snowing and it's cold.
Right? Even when it's snowing and it's cold.
Right? Never happened to Denver.
No. You know, whenever I look at that schedule, I'll always count, okay, we've got 3 September games. Because I just go to the home games, as you can imagine. It doesn't work if I take Thunder to away games and run out on the field. Right. They don't celebrate the same. Anyway,
no, I'm always
I'm always counting. I'll go, okay, good. Three September games. Ooh, two or maybe three. I'll show. Oh no, three nighttime December games. Oh, so then I start looking for all the layers that I know I'm going to have to be prepared for. But Thunder himself, oh my gosh. He is, he's really dressed for the nines. We have so much outerwear for him. He's always warm and toasty. But sometimes his people, compatriots, will be seen standing on the sidelines shivering a bit.
Well, now, is it, what breed is Thunder? And he's Thunder 3.
Thunder's an Arabian.
The third Thunder, right?
This is Thunder 3, uh-huh. Yeah. We actually have two acting mascots right now. We have Thunder 2 and Thunder 3. They're both purebred Arabian geldings. Thunder 2 is 20 years old, and Thunder 3 is 13. So we've been kind of easing Thunder 3 into the lineup so that when we decide, or when Thunder 2 decides he's ready to retire, that Thunder 3 will be ready. So Thunder 3 did the preseason games last year, and then we took him to the Super Bowl. He flew. We FedExed him, and we decided that it would be a little bit easier for the younger horse to handle all that activity than it would be for Thunder 2. So Thunder 3 went to the Super Bowl. He was in Times Square. He was on the Today Show. He was on Fox and Friends. He made the rounds. I'll tell you, having that horse take me around down the city streets of New York City was pretty incredible.
Well, and I got to say this too, Anne, you know, because he is an Arabian, you have broken all the stereotypes that are out there about Arabian horses, that they're flighty, that they're skitsy, that you can't train them to be calm. I mean, you have broken all those stereotypes with this one horse.
Isn't that wonderful? And the fact that there have been three of them, and they have all, they've each been really different, and I've had to approach the job that they have had to prepare to do in different ways on all three of them. And boy, talk about teaching me a lot as a horseman. It's really helped me, I think, stretch both ability-wise, but also intellectually. They have allowed me to think in so many different ways, because Kim and I have talked about this a lot, how it's really our responsibility to learn their language. It's not their responsibility to learn ours. And so it really has taught me how to stretch intellectually so that I can really think and listen their language. And then when I learn and listen to that language, then it really tells me how to react physically. And that's where the training aspect comes in. But it really, you really have to take it apart first and figure out what they're saying to you first. Kim, you and I have talked about this a lot, haven't we?
Yes, we have. And I think it's a great point to bring up is with the three funders, you know, you've really had to look at the personality, because they're all different. Because every horse has their own individual personality, their own way of how they learn things. And so you've had to adapt and adjust to their personality, how they learn, so that you can set them up for success. And I think that whether you're a trainer or a backyard horse person that just likes to trail ride, that is our job, is we need to figure out how our horse thinks, how the horse learns, and how we, it's our responsibility to set them up for success. And I think, Ian, you have shown the world that horses in general, and like Glenn mentioned, you know, the stereotypes of the Arabian, because Thunder 1 was a stallion. And, you know, and so there's all kinds of stereotypes around stallions, too. And, you know, he's, and often, you know, the stadium is 75,000 to 78,000 screaming fans, and we talked about the energy, especially at the playoff games prior to the Super Bowl. And we also talked about FedExing Thunder 3 to the Super Bowl, and I'll be curious how the flight actually went for him. And it's just amazing. And these, like you were saying, Ann, you rode down New York streets, and for those that haven't been to New York, the energy in New York City is completely different. And I'll give you an example. I was there in April, and that's when I met Susan, our previous guest. And I flew into Newark, took the train to Penn Station, and come out onto the street, and it's like this energy just like bombard me. So, you know, horses are so sensitive to all that. They're sensitive to the rider. They're reading so many different things because they're prey animals. So imagine what that's like to come from Colorado with wide open spaces. He's obviously used to some of that with the stadium, but there's a bit of a break between, I'm sure, and right from the field versus, you know, because the people are in the stands, they're not actually out on the field. But you talked about that a little bit. There's a little bit of that in the tunnel when you come out, because you guys come out first. And there's the fireworks and the cheerleaders and the team is behind and their energy is booming and stuff. And so, you know, Thunder can get a little excited with that. So I imagine you felt that in New York as well. And it's just, I think it's wonderful on so many levels for horses in general and then, of course, for Arabians too, what you do.
Well, you brought up so many interesting and important points there, Kim. And the, I mean, we could have talk shows on so many of those things that you brought up, but that
right.
The energy level, it's exactly as you described. It's palpable there in New York City. And well, let me give you an example. Just another thought that you threw out there was, you know, these horses and how they can learn to cope and manage, and not only cope and manage, but enjoy that type of job and that type of venue. Because there's no way that you can force a flight creature to do something that innately isn't unnatural for them unless they want to do it and enjoy doing it. So
exactly.
There's one thing right there that I want people to digest and take apart. You cannot force a flight creature to do something that they feel is going to threaten their survival. So if you, that's one point that I want every rider to think about when they think about forcing these horses through a trail, you know, a trail class or any, so many circumstances. So let me give you an example. So at the Super Bowl Saturday, we were there at the stadium Saturday before the game, and they said, okay, we're going to just run through this. We're going to do it three times. First, we got comfortable on the field and comfortable with the amount of personnel that we're going to be there, et cetera, et cetera. And then they said, okay, so we're going to practice the tunnel. And they did it three times. So we stood in the tunnel, and there were some great students there that were pretending to be the players behind Thunder. And they were jumping up and down and going, ooh, we're ready to play. They were having a great time. So that was great. And there's a big door. Unlike Denver, they had a big, like, plywood door in front of us. And they said, here's what's going to happen. We're going to let off the pyro, we're going to count to three, and the doors will open and we'll go Thunder. So we did it three times. The pyro went off, boom, boom, boom. They counted to three, the doors opened, and my contact person said, go Thunder! Three times. Perfect. It was great. So, game day. Very exciting. I don't even know how many thousands of people sit in that stadium. TV cameras everywhere. It's, you know, we're laughing and excited and happy, and Thunder's totally in the moment. We're standing in the tunnel. The real team is behind us. We don't hear any pyro. The doors open, and our contact person says, go Thunder. All right. For a moment, I'm trying to think quickly. I'm thinking, okay, either the pyro, it didn't work. Functionally, it didn't work. Or they miscued us, and the pyro was going to go while we're going through it.
Oh, right.
That's what happened. So I had to go. I'd been cued. The doors were open. The TV cameras were there. Off we go. And I've looked at that video since then, and you can see Thunder. He's real low to the ground, and you can see him kind of you know, he changes leads as he goes down that corridor. He starts out on the left lead, and then he goes right, and then left, and then right. But he stays really low to the ground, and he just keeps loping straight through, but you see these lead changes. The reason you see those lead changes is there's pyro going off at the side of him. Boom!
Oh,
geez.
And then at the end of this corridor of fire, there are these big flamethrowers that let off a plume of flame, and they guaranteed me, they said, we won't let off the flame plumes until after his tail is passed.
That's nice of them.
yeah, but the plumes of flame went off at his head, as his head was passing them.
Oh, no.
So I was telling people I had the opportunity to go down to Scottsdale for a ceremony down there in February soon after the game. And I said, you know what? We talk about how these creatures, if they believe in us, if they have faith in us, if they trust us, they will go through fire. And nothing, no time was it more evident than when that horse said, well, we've never done this before.
Right.
You say it's okay. So here we go. You know, that horse had, he should have said, we haven't practiced this before. Boom, done. I'm done. I'm stopping. I'm not going. But not only did he not say that, but again, if you look at that video, his ears are up, his eyes are happy and bright, and he's just going through this challenge, you know, because I asked him to, and he knew he'd be fine. So again, and I talked, Jimmy, you and I have talked about how we do faith walks with horses to prepare them for the tasks that we ask them, because you can't just all of a sudden, you know, show them a task and then say, okay, here's what I'm going to teach you to do. You have to build up to that task by doing lots and lots of faith walks that create these layers of belief, these layers of faith, these layers of confidence and loyalty and all of that, so that when you do get into those challenges, they look to you for support and they say, huh, okay, you say it's fine. I know historically it's always been fine, so here we go. And that is, I know that's a long example, but that's the best example I have for what these horses will do if you are careful about building those blocks of faithfulness.
Absolutely. And I think it's a great example, Anne, and it really speaks to how horses need a strong leader. And to believe in that, they need to trust their leader, they need to respect their leader. And if you don't have that, there's no way that you would have been able to accomplish what you accomplished. And then there's a little piece that, as a horse person, I like to point out, because I guarantee you that the average person wasn't paying attention to Thunder changing leads. So, and I remember this last year when I'd met Thunder 3, it came down and we did that live interview at the pregame, and then mm-hmm. you guys were warming up on the field. And again, just as a horse person, I was watching you guys and you were loping out on the field, and then there were a couple times where he just looked at the white line a little bit. And the mm-hmm. average person would have noticed nothing. But I noticed mm-hmm. that he was like, oh, and it's just the change in color, right? You know, it's a little,
sure,
like uh-huh. they see a little differently. And
horses don't have the same depth perception as you and I. But anyway, go ahead.
Exactly. And that's where if you weren't his strong leader and he didn't believe in you, or you reacted, was like, oh, God, yeah, that's a scary thing, then he would have spooked worse. But you were like, no, it's fine. We're just going to keep going. And like three more lines later, he wasn't even looking at it. Or I don't know if it was even three, but just it was very quickly. He wasn't even mm-hmm. looking at it anymore. He wasn't even concerned. And so I think that's something that we can all apply in whatever type of horsemanship that we do.
That's right. Exactly. And I don't know how much time we have left, but let me give another example in a totally different venue. I was up in the beautiful Rocky Mountains a couple of weeks ago, and I got to lead a group of women, and these are clinics, they're women's horsemanship retreats, and it's called Cowgirls Up. Anyway, we do a lot of this faith-building exercise, and so I was up in the Rocky Mountains. It's a two-day event, and so the first day we start out by doing arena work, and we build confidence both in the rider and the horse, and doing some, we do some dressage tests, and we work on just some, I guess you'd call them arena skill sets, but they're still communication skill sets. And then that first day, we crossed the Colorado River over a bridge, which was a little mm-hmm. nerve-wracking for some of the riders and horses, but they completed that task, and many of the riders, you know, we talked about what happened after the fact, and, you know, I was watching behind as I had another leader leading over the bridge, and then I was watching behind him. what did a lot of the riders do? Well, they braced, you know, they braced in their back, they raised their shoulders, they raised their hands, you know, and in doing so, pulled up the reins. So what did that all say to the horse? It said danger, danger, right. Danger, danger. So it took a little coaxing for some of those horses to believe that the bridge was safe. You know, it sounds weird. Clip, clop, it's very hollow sounding. But everybody completed it, took a big deep breath, and on we went into the Rocky Mountains, did a lot of climbing, up and down, blah, blah, blah. So that night, when we were all sitting around the supper table, I said, okay, girls, now that today, we experienced crossing the bridge. Tomorrow, we're actually going to cross the river. We're going to cross the Colorado River. And, you know, there were some gasps, but then we talked about it. And I said, what did you learn today about how you were going to encourage your flight creature and crossing that bridge? Because when they came back from the mountains and crossed the bridge, oh, they were all laughing and having a great time. Those horses never even looked at the bridge. Their heads were down, right. You know. And when they got back over the bridge, the ladies went, oh, we just went over the bridge. Oh, you know, but a totally different approach. And so we talked about it, and I talked about how you prepare yourself mentally for that. And there was in the morning, one of the gals told me that she dreamed about it all night long. And I said, well, how did that go? And she said, well, first, you know, I was really anxious, and I woke up. She said, I must have dreamed about it 6 or 7 times. And the first few times it woke me up because I was afraid, and the horse was jumping through the water. And then she said, I don't know. I must have been so exhausted that by the end of the night, my last couple of dreams, we were walking through the water and blah, blah, blah. I said, there, that was your mind basically talking you through it and telling your body how you were going to do it. And I won't belabor the story because it'll go on and on.
Yeah, we got to wrap this pretty soon.
Oh, end of the story is everybody went through the Colorado River, and it was awesome. But it was a faith walk, man. It was awesome.
That's awesome. Well, and I know Glenn would love to have you back as well, and I invite you back. So I will follow up with you, and we'll set up another time for you to be on the show. Maybe we can even take some listener calls, and we'll give you a little more time, and we can talk more about horses, because I know how much you and I just love talking horses together. And so it was great.
Love
Thank
it.
You so much for
we'll
being on
the
show.
Anytime,
really
Kim. You bet. Thank you so much for inviting me.